This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared, word for word, in truth and in love. You're invited to stay tuned and listen to the word of life brought to you by HICF Ministries. Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
Yes, word for word. If it is not in the world, leave us alone. If it is not in the world, count us out. However, if it is in the world, we are one with you in Christ Jesus. Here at HICF, we live by the living word of God, for in it we have our living and our being. We thank God for another hour, for the word of life, word of encouragement, word of love, word of peace, and of hope. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity to gather at your feet. I pray as we look into your living word that each one of us will receive today from your throne of grace, meeting us at the point of our needs individually and collectively as your body. May the word refresh us, awaken us, convict us of the rebuke and correction that may come through this word today. May the word continue to change areas of our hearts that are still hard to receive or understand, that this word is able to save and deliver us from our wall of cares and sorrows, from our wall of brokenness and hopelessness, from our wall of chaos into your wall of true love, peace, hope, joy, and contentment. Help us to follow your word, O Lord. It is the light for our path so that we can continue in you steadfastly in the remaining part of this journey back to you in truth and in love until we behold you. Yes, Lord, I pray that you speak to everyone listening to this message. Let signs and miracles follow us that believe and heed to this living word. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us online for this Sunday service. I can assure you the Lord has a message. Therefore, stay tuned. Be attentive to the very end. You'll be glad that you did so. I want to appreciate all of our beloved ones here in the land and abroad for praying for us. By God's grace, we are all doing very well. The situation here in China seems to be under control, but unfortunately, it has become a pandemic, a global outbreak. However, in all situations, God is God, and we are confident He's in control and always working for the good of His children and waiting for many outside the kingdom to come in. He's in charge of every situation. And we are praying, as this virus is able to spread to every area in the corridors of power, because it's touching even heads of states, to everywhere that it's spreading. I pray, as the word of God says, where sin abounds, grace will abound in high measure. We pray, O God, that your word will spread to every corridor of power, to every place, touching lives and bringing children home in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Let's go to the word. The theme today is stop being a fool. Fulfill your vows. Fulfill your promises to God. Stop being a fool. Fulfill your vows, your promises to God. Let me quickly say something here so that you will not be confused when it comes to these two terms. In the context of this message, I will be using vows or promises interchangeably, because I found it also in the Word of God. I will probably lean towards using promises because we feel comfortable with promises. We are so used to promises between man and man. I mean, not every man to woman, woman to man. Parents to children, children to parents. We make promises. We don't like using terms like vow, covenant. You know, when you do that, when you talk about vows or covenant, that looks somehow kind of sacred or serious. Usually we have them during marriage. Yeah, I know some different thought opinions will say they are different, but I believe we have a unifying ground to understand and agree that God desires, whether it is promise or vow, that you are faithful and that you should fulfill it without delay. Yes, when it comes to God, we should honor and fulfill our promises, our vows, without delay. Independent of our situation, independent of how we perceive God is responding to our situations or our needs, we should be faithful to keep the promises that we made to Him. The Word of God tells us very clearly from where we read, or we shall be reading, that those who break the promises to God are fools, and He has no pleasure in fools. That is a hard one. He has no pleasure. In other versions, says He has no use for fools. In our daily lives, we often don't call people who break promises fools. Yes, we are disappointed, brokenhearted. We resent them. Sometimes we hate them. We give them different names: liars, cheaters, unfaithful. But God sums everything about those who break promises as fools. To call someone a fool? In fact, the Word of God wants us not to. I'll keep this aspect. Later on, we'll talk more about it. Let me go back again to the theme. Stop being a fool. Fulfill your promises to God. Fulfill your promises to God. I'm not talking about promises we make to each other, man to man. All right? And I pray God will reveal to us where we have been fooling with Him. Now, if God calls something for what it is, you better not fool around by disagreeing or trying to give excuses or trying to defend yourself. I believe God is opening our eyes to reveal where we have been fooling, where we have been fools. I know it's a hard message. So the wise thing to do, if God convicts you that you have been fooling in this message, accept the verdict from God. He's a righteous judge. And repent and make it right. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. For the purpose of this message, I would like to define what a vow, what a promise is. A promise is a deliberate or is made voluntarily. Conscious decision, conscious commitment to do something to someone. Now, the moment you make that decision and you open your mouth and say it to the person that you are committing to do something, it becomes now an obligation, a duty. It's a debt, a law to you. You are duty bound to fulfill, independent of the recipient character or attitude towards you. You must keep your word. Now, there is a lot to talk about promises, from the importance of making or keeping promises to the devastating impact broken promises have in our lives. We live in a world of brokenness because of broken promises at every level of our lives. Government and politicians fail to keep their promises after getting into the office. Divorce in our society is so common. Every day increasing, it has become norm. You don't feel good about it, just get out of it. Or husband and wife no longer keep the promises they have made. Broken promises between children and parents. Children are carrying the disappointment of broken promises from their parents, while parents are brokenhearted because of the failure of the grown-up children, failing to keep what I call default promise to take care of their parents. Listen, everyone born carries a default obligation, a default promise, if you will, towards taking care of your parents, independent whether they are Christians, independent. A promise should be fulfilled independent of how the recipient behaves. That is why marriages fail. That is where there is divorce. Because we think that it's 50-50. Because my husband is not doing this thing, therefore I will not do that one. He's supposed to do 50 and I will do 50, and then, you know, we come together, it makes 100. That is not what the Word of God says. When we make those vows, we say them before God in hard times, in disease, in the valley, in the mountain, I'll be faithful. You didn't say, if she's not faithful, I'll not be faithful. Thank God that God is faithful. He'll not be unfaithful because of our unfaithfulness. Hallelujah. God will give you praise. We'll give you praise. Hallelujah. As I've said, there are a lot to talk about promises. Many questions, like promises made between man to man, does it concern God? Does God care about that? If I failed to keep my promise to a fellow man, what promises should I make to God which I should not? Should I withdraw my vow if I cannot fulfill it? How do I keep my promises to God because I keep on failing? Oh, I know I have broken my promises to God, but not deliberately. What should I do? Some people will ask, should I? Must I make promises to God? Isn't it better? As some people may say, I'd rather not make a promise. Just let it be. Let come what may. So that I don't fail in keeping a promise and be guilty of sin. In fact, such people, they wrongly refer to scriptures like in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4, where it says, it is better not to make a vow than to make one and not fulfill it. Well, brothers and sisters, as believers, we don't have options but to continue in our commitment daily to God. Yes, limitless of questions and topics to cover about promises in our lives, man to man and man to God. Therefore, you will agree with me, to address each of these topics or questions requires a series of sermons. Therefore, in this sermon, it's about promises to God. Other times, we will tackle some of those questions. Why addressing the issue of promises to God? First, before the promises between man to man. Because if you can keep or fulfill your promises to God, you will learn and be able to honor and keep promises to others. I know some will say, though I fail to keep promises to God, but I keep promises to others. I keep promises to my wife, to my children. Really? What a shame. You can keep promises to others, but you can't keep to your own God, your own creator. You hypocrite. First thing first. Just like the word of God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and then you will be able to genuinely love others. In the same vein, you can keep your promises. If you can keep your promises to God, you will be able to keep promises to others, as the Lord will it in you and enable you to make promises to others in truth and in love, to the glory and honor of His holy name. The Holy Spirit will prompt you. The Holy Spirit will prompt you what kind of promises you should make. He says He will cause us to will and to act. Hallelujah. So as I've said, I'm going to address one aspect of our promises that we make to God. Even in this aspect of promises to God, I was compelled in my spirit for this message to still narrow it to one aspect that God wants us to change. God wants us to change in this area that I'm speaking to you. But this is what He says. I want you to listen. And this is what God is saying to the church, to you and me. My dear children, worship me in spirit and truth. Enough of hypocrisy to me. Change and give thought to your promise you are making to me, especially in the songs of praise and worship you claim you are using to worship me. Stop being fools. I have no use of fools. I have no pleasure in those songs, nor in any other, nor in one that sings them. Give thought to what you sing to me from now onwards. This is the word of the Lord as impressed on my spirit. So the focus of this message is on promises we make in our songs of praise and worship to God. Those songs of praise and worship we sing in the church when we gather, at home, on the street. Those songs of praise and worship we sing in troubled times and in good times. I am trusting God, and I have prayed to Him that after hearing this message, from today some may change the way they sing songs of praise and worship to God. That from today, we focus with reverence on the very words we utter in our songs. From today, that we will think twice before we sing songs of praise and worship to God. From today, I pray that some may start to write their own song from their heart to God. You see, the Lord prompted me to bring this message about 3 weeks ago. This verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 4 is one of my verses that I have memorized in order to meet up with the challenge of memorization of God's word in my family. You know, during this time of quarantine, we decided and challenged ourselves that every week we memorize 3 verses. This is one of these verses, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. My wife, in one of our devotions when I brought it up, she jokingly said, "While it is true that we often don't mean or pay attention or keep to the promises we make in songs, but we are so used to singing them, what are we going to do? What songs are we going to be singing in church? Who knows, probably next. When we say, let's sing this song, I surrender all. Maybe there will be hesitation. Maybe people may not sing because they don't want to be hypocrites. Well, let me say something here. The focus of this message is to awaken us from rituals of singing songs without giving attention to the words, without acting on the words. Therefore, when we sing, we show, this is the purpose of the message, pay attention prayerfully to the words and put them in our hearts to meditate on them even after singing them. And I believe God will help us. Or are you thinking by just singing these songs, some kind of miracle will happen? Like if you go on singing, Lord, change me, Lord, change me, Lord, change me, Lord. And then change by some mystery happens automatically. Let me tell you the truth. You can sing change many times in 100 years. You will die without that change or remain unchanged. Change comes by trusting and obeying the word of God, which is the very definition of faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hope we are together. So, brother and sister, why don't you sing what you really stand for? The Bible says, sing a new song unto the Lord. Psalms 98 verse 1. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. Had the Lord not been doing marvelous things to you? Testify. We make mistakes that song must have keys or must be, you know, you must sing them this way or that way, with a nice tone that is pleasing to the ears. Yes, of course we like to hear good songs, well-tuned, well-keyed in. But consider the songs of Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 1 to 43, a song. The songs of Moses and Miriam, Exodus chapter 15, verse 1 to 21. We have the songs of David. The prophetess Deborah sang. What about the songs of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 55? Their songs stem from their hearts because of what has happened in their lives. Mary and Moses sang after crossing the Red Sea. We are talking about testimonies in your life, what you have gone through. Some of you in troubled times, you say, nobody understands my song. Thank God for that song. God is bringing that song so that you can write it, because if you believe, he's taking you through that storm, through that trial. And after, when you come through, you will sing that song. It doesn't have to have key A, B, C. It will touch somebody's life. The testimony of what God has done in the life of Moses and Miriam, in the life of Mary, when you read them, they inspire you. God, day by day, is adding verses to your testimony, to your song, if you will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Now, since songs are made of words, and these words have meaning, the word of God cautions us in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2, which is the main verse for the sermon. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few. Another verse that is the base of this sermon is in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. God is saying,
Don't shoot off your mouth or speak before you think. Think before you speak when you come before me. Let your words be few. Don't be too quick to tell God what you think He wants to hear. Did you hear me? I repeat that. Don't be too quick to tell God what you think He wants to hear. You know, sometimes when we are there singing, lifting up our eyes, our hands, and we are singing, I give you my life, my heart is your throne, do what melt me, break me, mold me. You think God is pleased with those words? Let's look at other songs. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender. I surrender. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender. Then other words or phrases in that song. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live, worldly pleasure all forsaken, Lord, I give myself to Thee. I give myself away so You can use me. My life is not my home. You know, you go on singing those songs. You said, my mind doesn't belong to me. I belong to You. I give myself away. All my dreams, all my plans, Lord, I place them in Your hands. Lord, I give You my life. I give You my soul. I live for You alone. Think deep about what you are singing. This is my desire to honor You. All that is within me, I give. You go on saying, goodbye world, goodbye pleasures of this world. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Those are the kind of songs we sing. As I have said, these songs are made of words. These words have meaning. And in these few samples I've cited or sang briefly with my kind of voice, literally they are full of promises. They are promises. Now the big question here, now stay with me. Whom are you directing these words, these promises to? Whom are you focusing on? Whom are you singing them to? To other singers, other worshippers, that telling them you can sing? Or to yourself, you are enjoying the rhythm of the song together with other people? Or are you singing them to God Almighty? Or you are just repeating the words of another person because it's easy, it's just good, it's rhythmic. You feel good about the words there. They are not your words. Who else are you singing to if they are not singing it to other worshippers? Not yourself? Not God? Are you singing them to demons? Satan? Sure, I believe you will say no to God, right? Now, if these words in these songs are promises and are directed to God, now listen to that verse. Also, the main base for this sermon, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. When you make a vow to God, when you make a promise, if these songs are promises, God is saying, when you make such promises to me, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. He has no use for fools. Fools are those who make promises, but they are empty promises. They don't keep to it. It says, do what you promise to do. Numbers 30 verse 2. If a man makes a vow to the Lord, or swears an oath to obligate himself by a pledge,
He must not break this, his word. He must do everything he has promised. So when you sing, I surrender all, my life is not my own, you go on to say, worldly pleasure, all forsaken. I have made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. All my dreams and all my plans, Lord, I place them in your hands. Do you really mean them from the bottom of your heart? Oh, you are thinking God should understand you are not really serious about these words? You are not properly thinking of what you are singing? You are carried away by the music, by the instrument, the drums, the bass guitar, the violin have helped to create the ambience for that momentary spiritualities that bring tears rolling down your cheeks, that it move you emotionally into that mode of being a spiritual creed. Only after the instruments fade, lights are turned off. Yes, that feeling so strong through Sunday evening. But Monday is a bit hot, but not very hot. By Tuesday, it is all lukewarm, and thereafter, gone with the wind. Gone with the wind. The heart of worship is gone. You gradually slip back, going back to your words. Going back on your words. That even though you sang, I surrender all on Sunday. And you know what? You understand when you say you surrender? Imagine a police officer stops you. And he says, don't move! And he's pointing a gun to you. It's been advised you don't move anything until he says. That's what it ought to be when we say we surrender all. We don't move. To the left or to the right, we listen to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. But now here you are by Wednesday. You're back into that clubbing life, watching those things again. That relationship with that person is back alive because the instruments are not there. Other congregational members are not there to sing with you. The location is a different place. It's not within the four walls of that church. Therefore, the songs are not powerful again. They are not compelling to bring you into that mode of worship, talkless of bringing those tears running down your cheek. Yes, God should wait till on Sunday again. When these words again, when we begin to worship in those songs of praise and worship, generate that passion again. Yes, even though you sang with the words of promises to the Lord, my mind does not belong to me. I'm not my own. But now, if it's Thursday or Friday, you want to take ownership of your life, to react the way you feel. It is no longer making sense. It is no longer logical. It is not appealing to your mind to continue to be a doormat, to be taken advantage of. You feel you want to give them your peace, that they deserve your wrath. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to cut off that relationship because you have been childhood friends or because he has been supporting you. He comes from a rich family. Yes, God should wait until on Sunday again when you tell him that your mind is not your own, that you will not depend on your feeling. You sang that song with all sorts of promises to the Lord. Lord, I know I have said goodbye to worldly pleasures, but my friends think I'm not just it. I don't flow. They don't want to go out with me because they think I'm not sociable. My hairstyle is not good. I don't have those high heels. They have different makeups from one type to another. I don't have. I'm left alone. God, she'll understand. You'll wait for Sunday when you go back again through those songs of praise and worship. You will tell him that though no one joins me, I will still follow. The wall behind me, the cross before me. Yes, you complain. It is the system. It is difficult to stand different. Parents complain. My children don't get it. Why I refuse them? Why all the children in the church do it? And no problem. Business people say it is the system to get things done. They call it that I have to give little money. But you know, Bible says bribery corrupts the heart. No, God should wait till on Sunday again when you tell him you belong to the kingdom system and not the system of this world. Yes, on Sunday, you are there to offer those promises through the songs of praise and worship. It has become a cycle, and it's okay. Nobody complains. It's just together we lift up our hands and worship him with those promises in those songs, and it's all okay. God is saying to you today, enough is enough. It's not okay with you. Stop messing or fooling around with God. He is the same God on Sunday. He's the same God on Monday, Tuesday. He does not change Wednesday, neither Thursday or Friday nor Saturday. He is the same God. And he is saying, fulfill your vow. He has no pleasure in fool. Again, be reminded that I have said in the beginning, if God calls one a fool, don't argue with God. Don't try to explain, simply repent. When God calls a thing for what it is, don't fool around. It is serious to be called a fool. In fact, the word of God forbids us not to call somebody a fool. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Matthew chapter 5 verse 22. In danger of what? Hellfire. This is about eternal judgment. Unending torment in lake fire. This is how serious it is for you to say to one is a fool or rocker. Now stay with me on this one. To call someone fool in this context of this reference in Matthew is to say one is utterly worthless. In other words, is to say one is beyond the reach of God and therefore condemned forever. We are certainly not in that place to say so. That is the meaning. Do not call somebody a rackety fool. It is the place of God to condemn. Yeah. Check out the description of a fool in Proverbs. A fool hates knowledge, takes no pleasure in understanding, enjoys wicked scheme. Says a foolish man commits sexual immorality. The ultimate description of a fool is one who says in his heart, there is what? No God. Now, if God says one is a fool, and we have all this description of a fool in the Word of God, and God is the ultimate righteous judge, wow, we should tremble and pay attention to what God says. He has no pleasure in a fool. He has no use for a fool. Now, if a fool is worthless to God, of what use can that fool be in anyone's life? But thank God, he's still merciful. He's a merciful father, giving a fool opportunity to repent. And fools can repent.
And that is why he's warning us to stop being fools before it is too late. To stop being fools by promising in our songs promises we refuse. It's why do I say we refuse to obey? Because God is faithful, will never ask us to do what we cannot do. All of us, at one point, we fail to keep our promises to God. And he understands it. And that is why the atoning blood of Christ is there and it's at work. 7:20 for every moment. But that does not license us to continue in sin, because the atoning blood is there. The problem of a fool that God detests is like that of a dog that goes back to its vomit. Proverbs 26 verse 11 says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. You see, when one breaks a promise, you know, maybe because of certain situations, either to man or to God, God understands. But if it becomes a pattern, it reveals things about that person. And it helps us to see how he sees the person he's making these promises that he has failed repeatedly to keep. The person to whom he's making this promise is not a priority to him. He has no respect, no honor to this person. That person is not important to him. That is exactly what we are. Even though we claim we love God, we respect him, but we don't keep the promises. It talks much about you that you have no integrity, no credibility. You cannot be trusted. You are a promise breaker. Your word is no good, and therefore you are no good too. Now there is this thing that is very common to all of us. When we break promises, we make the fence and we say we really didn't mean it. That deep down, you don't mean to fail. But it has repeated many times, many, many times. It says actions speak louder than voice. Jesus shut down such argument. He said, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Period. If we truly love God with the whole of our heart, if he is the center of our lives, if we are living for him, how can we not fulfill our obligation to him? Our promises to him, to follow him. In fact, it shouldn't be a duty. If we genuinely love him, we will love to fulfill our promises to him. Hallelujah. Check yourself. Are you really passionate? Do you really love God? Is he in the center of your life? You'll be careful about what will hurt him, as we do to others that we love. We are always careful if it is true love. We always calculate, we always think what will be pleasing. Talk less of breaking promises repeatedly. Brothers and sisters, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 5, it says, it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the songs of fools. Those who make promises in songs and don't keep them, don't keep their words, are singing songs of fools, and God has no pleasure in them, nor in the songs that they sing. They are only given empty words, not from their heart. Isaiah 29 verse 13 says, therefore the Lord says, these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is but rules taught by men. I recall back home in Nigeria,
we have these traditional professional singers. And when there are big occasions, they come out with their African drums, very skillful, with good voices. They shower praises on those that are rich. They call them lions, they call them champions. They exalt them beyond what really they are. And you know what? Before you know it, these rich individuals are pouring, showering them with gifts, giving them cars, giving them houses. And truthfully, these guys are just professional. They want that money. It's not that they really meant what they are saying. When you come to God, you sing those songs. That's why it is detestful to Him. For God to call one a fool, He really detests. It's like condemned. He has no use for you. You are not singing it from your heart. And you know what? When you fail to keep your promise, God is clearly calling it a sin. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 21. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to keep it, because He will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. And you know, sin kills. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira. That should warn us. Not keeping your vows is a sin. And every sin potentially can kill or be the platform of other sins to evolve that you didn't plan. You have not seen what it will give birth to. It will conceive, and it will shock you to see where it's leading. Be careful. Let us be careful in breaking promises. When you break promise to God, you can break every other promise. Finally, by this message, God is warning and reminding each one of us to give thought to every word before we say it, whether in prayers or words or in songs. God is merciful. I remember He reminded Jacob too, and asked Jacob in Genesis chapter 35 to go and fulfill his vows. Jacob ran away from his brother, and God met with him, and he made a promise to God. God, if you be with me and give me food and bless me, when I come back, I'll fulfill. When Jacob had problem with his father-in-law, God told him to move. He came to a place. He was there, and his children massacred and slaughtered the men in the city because they violated their sister. And so Jacob was in trouble. But God told him, Jacob, move. Go back. I'm interested. You made a promise. Go back and fulfill. And God, today in this message, is a merciful God before His wrath. And He's saying, as He told Jacob, go and build an altar in Bethel and worship. God is telling you, fulfill your vows, your promises that you have made in your songs of worship to me. I know it has become a norm and people are okay with it, but God is saying He's not okay with it. God is warning against continuous making promises in our songs and failing to fulfill it. You have heard me. You have heard this message. Pay attention to what you are singing. Just don't open. Say, be careful with what you utter before me. Let your words be few. It means what? Give thought to whatever you are singing. Stop singing songs that are merely empty words to God. He has no pleasure in them, nor in the one that sings them. The real fool is the one that is warned or reminded by God about not fulfilling vows, promises, and yet continue to do so. You have had the warning today.
Be awakened. Be careful what you utter before God in songs. Give thought to the songs you sing from today. I believe God has spoken to you, my dear brother, my dear sister, my children of the Lord. Will you today say, Lord, as you bow your head where you are, say, Lord, I repent for all the songs I have sung with promises to you, but have failed in keeping them. Forgive me. Forgive me. For all those songs with promises that I sang, but after I leave your presence, I'm going back on my words. Forgive me. Also tell the Lord, Lord, I promise to give thought to songs I sing to you from today, and by your grace will fulfill the vows in them. Hallelujah. The next prayer I want to give, the opportunity for repentance for those that are struggling with one sin or the other in your life. Will you totally surrender to God now? Yes, the word of God says, give thought to what you are about to promise to God. There should be no confusion in this when it comes to sin. There is no need to wait for another day to give up sexual immorality, pornography. Today is the day of salvation. Right now is the time to repent and surrender to God totally. And God will not wait tomorrow. Today He will forgive you. He will wash you and make you whole. If you are willing to surrender that life, that relationship that is not right, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. Mention that name. Be specific. Lord Jesus, forgive me my sins. I repent. Forgive me. Wash me. And by your grace, I promise never to do it again. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. God bless you as you continue to honor Him by fulfilling your promises in all areas of your life. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.